Okay, good evening. We are reading from Romans chapter 8 from verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For if you did not receive a Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. Once, there were two women who never knew each other. One you do not remember, the other you call mother. One became your guiding star, the other became your sun. The first gave you life, and the second taught you to live in it. The first gave you a need for love, and the second was there to give it. One gave you a nationality, the other gave you a name. One gave you the seed of a talent, the other gave you an aim. One gave you emotions, the other calmed your fears. One saw your first sweet smile, the other dried your tears. One gave you up, it was all that she could do. The other prayed for a child, and God led her straight to you. And now you ask me through your tears the age-old questions through the years. Heredity or environment? Which are you the product of? Neither, my darling, neither. Just two different kinds of love. I read you that anonymous poem because it introduces the great truth of verse 15. The NIV has, you received the spirit of sonship. It's also translated spirit of adoption. In other words, by nature, we are not children of God. That's a very shocking thing to say. People like to think we're all God's children. This is not true. The Bible teaches, for example, in chapter 5, verse 10, non-Christians are God's enemies. What, you say? I'm not an enemy of God. Well, the Bible teaches that we are, by nature. We rebel against God. We refuse to have Jesus to be our king. We refuse to submit to God's word. So the Bible says, don't get drunk, and we get drunk. The Bible says, in your anger do not sin, and we lose our tempers. And so we could go on. And so the Bible teaches we are enemies of God. And we need God to make peace with us, which he does wonderfully. God makes peace by punishing Jesus on the cross for our disobedience. Jesus willingly, lovingly takes our punishment. Peace is made. We are no longer God's enemies if we accept what Jesus has done for us. But there's more to it than that. Not only are we no longer God's enemies, not only are we allowed to be God's servants, and that's a privilege, not only are we made friends with God, and that's a privilege, this passage teaches that if we belong to Jesus, we are made children of God. We are adopted into God's family. When you're adopted, you have all the same good things as a biological child. If a man has two children, one adopted and one biological, they both have exactly the same rights. They can both say, "This is my dad." They should both inherit 50% of their father's wealth. There is no difference. Now then, Jesus is the Son of God. He has always been the Son of God. He has never been God's enemy. You have been an enemy of God. But now, you and I can be a joint Son of God with Jesus. Or as verse 16 puts it, a co-heir with Jesus. You will inherit what Jesus inherits, because you are now an adopted child of God. I think this is amazing. And that's where we're heading this evening. Three headings. God's children behave like God's children. God's children know they're God's children. And God's children inherit God's glory. Firstly then, God's children behave like God's children. Verses 9 to 14. Now anyone who knows my family in Wales knows that I am very much a Jenkins. When there is a family wedding or funeral, it's often remarked upon that it is a great gathering of very long noses. We've all got long noses. Some are exceptionally long. Now, I'm not embarrassed about this. I'm not ashamed. I have a long nose. I thank God for my long nose. When I was in school, I didn't like my nose. I used to look in the mirror and worry about it. Same with my ears. I know it's sad, isn't it? Tragic. Incidentally, if you're feeling worried about your appearance, it does pass. There will come a time when you don't mind about your long nose or your big ears. Now, the point I'm making is, I share my family's likeness. I am a Jenkins. I have a long nose. And that's a silly illustration of what verse 9 is saying. We are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, the Spirit of God lives in you. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Jesus. Some churches teach that you need a second experience of God when you receive the Spirit. That's not true. You receive the Holy Spirit when you receive Jesus. When you ask Jesus to be your King and to be your rescuer from hell for heaven, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And he produces in you the family likeness. Not the Jenkins family likeness, not a long nose. Rather, he produces the character of Jesus. He makes you like Jesus. So I say, a child of God behaves like a child of God. Everyone should be able to see that you are a Christian, that you belong to Jesus. Now, is this true of you? At home, at school, in the sports club? Can people see the family likeness? Now, I didn't have to do any work for this long nose. It was just given to me. It's not quite like that with Jesus. You are given the family likeness, but you have a duty to work at being like Jesus. Look at verse 12. We have an obligation. You are obliged to be like Jesus. You don't have any other option. You must live by the Holy Spirit. Live as the Holy Spirit directs. Verse 13, if you don't do this, you will die spiritually. If you sin and you do not get forgiven by Jesus, you will be spiritually dead. And you'll go to hell. Don't end up like that. Rather, verse 13, put to death the misdeeds of the body. Put to death your addiction to pornography. Put to death your bad temper. Put to death your love of money. Whatever it is, put it to death. Death, of course, is final. I take funerals sometimes. Once the body is in the box, they're not coming out again. I have read of a few instances where people were not really dead and they knocked on the lid of the coffin and they were rescued from being buried alive. But that is most unusual. You and I have got to kill sin. Put it in the coffin. Bury it in the ground and never dig it up again. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. We all know where we need to put things to death. Verse 14, if you are an adopted child of God, you will be led by the Holy Spirit. This means, very simply, you will obey the Bible. You will obey King Jesus. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. In my last church, one of my senior leaders committed adultery. He basically told me that the Holy Spirit led him to do it. This is not true. To be led by the Spirit means to obey the Bible. God's children behave like God's children. Secondly, God's children know they're God's children. Verses 15 and 16. I have no doubt that I am Kenneth Jenkins' son. There is no doubt. I look like him. I think like him. I have some of his strengths, some of his weaknesses. There is no doubt in my mind I am Ken's son. And that's how it is with God. I know I am God's son. How do I know? Verse 15. He set me free from fear. I am no longer a slave to fear. I don't know what you're afraid of. I could write a book on this. Perhaps one day I will. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. We're set free from the big fears, death, hell. Those fears are gone. And more, we discover peace in our lives where we used to be afraid. We still have, of course, a fear instinct. Have you heard of a singer called Luciano Pavarotti? He was perhaps the most famous opera singer of the 20th century. He died just a few years ago. He had a marvelous voice. But I heard him say, any tenor who says they're not afraid when they go out on stage is lying. Now, I found that very helpful. If Pavarotti felt afraid, well, then that makes it okay for me to feel afraid, because I do feel terrified out of my tiny mind when I go out to sing. I'll never lose my fear instinct. It's frightening to walk out on stage. It would be frightening to do a bungee jump or a parachute jump. That fear instinct is God-given. And it's given to us for our protection, to stop us doing stupid things, like walking down the middle of the motorway. We're meant to be afraid of that. And the fear instinct makes us alert. The adrenaline flows. We think quickly. We can react quickly. That's God-given. It's nothing to be worried about. Fear becomes a problem when it's your master. You are not to be a slave to fear. The Christian knows he is a child of God because increasingly he knows victory over fear. So he has the courage to get baptized, like our friends who were baptized last Sunday. The Christian has the courage to talk about Jesus or to come out the front in church. You are no longer a slave to fear. Again, this doesn't happen automatically. You've still got to pluck up the courage to talk about Jesus with your friends, for example. And over time, you will discover that you are no longer a slave to fear. But there's more. Verse 15, you received the spirit of sonship. That is to say, you received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit convinces you that you are a child of God. And he does this more and more as you read the Bible. You must read the Bible to have this experience. And he does it more and more as you pray. Verse 15, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. My uncle lives in Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. Little boys in Nazareth call their fathers Abba. It means daddy. But it's not just warm and cuddly. It also implies respect and some fear of father. My point is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will pray. And you will call God Abba, Father. No other religion teaches that we may know God as Father, that we may know God personally in a love relationship. This is quite amazing. I know some people find it hard to think of God as Father because Perhaps they never had a father, or they had a bad father. I can't solve this problem for you here and now. But I will say that if you will trust Jesus and read his word and begin a relationship with God through prayer, over time, I do believe God will be the perfect father to you that you never had. This is the experience of countless Christians who never had a good dad. God's children know they're God's children. Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. After the famous preacher John Wesley had been preaching for some time, someone said to him, "Are you sure, Mr. Wesley, of your salvation?" "Well," he answered, "Jesus Christ died for the whole world." "Yes, we all believe that, but are you sure that you are saved?" Wesley replied that he was sure that provision had been made for his salvation. "But are you sure, Wesley, that you are saved?" It went like an arrow to his heart, and he had no rest or power until that question was settled. We're meant to have a calm assurance. Yes, I am saved. Yes, I am God's child. And if you've become a Christian, the way to grow stronger in your assurance that you are God's child is to read your Bible every day and to pray. Talk to him. Call him Father. Start talking to him. And the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. God's children behave like God's children. God's children know they're God's children. And thirdly, God's children inherit God's glory. Verse 17 and verses 10 and 11. Now this is mind-blowing. Verse 17. If we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. And co-heirs with Christ. Now, I think we all understand that Prince Charles is the Queen's son. And one day, Prince Charles will inherit the throne. He will inherit the crown. He will inherit Buckingham Palace. The government will serve him. In the same way, we are going to inherit something far greater. We are going to inherit what Jesus is going to inherit. Verse 17, we will share in his glory. This is a mystery. Nobody can reign with the Queen. Only she can sit on the throne. But the Bible teaches we will reign with Christ. We will share his job of judging the world. Now, I don't understand that. But I believe it. And when I die, I will understand it. He's going to say, "You can share all that is mine. You can share my glory." Imagine that. Imagine if Prince Charles said to an ordinary boy from South Wales, "You can live in my palace. You can sit on my throne. You can eat my food. You can share my life." It's ridiculous, isn't it? But this is just something of what Jesus promises to do for us. We share in his glory. A side issue is verse 10. You are given an eternally alive, sinless spirit. How wonderful. We will never sin in glory. And verse 11, you are given a perfect body. Perhaps I won't have a long nose then. Or maybe everyone in heaven will have a long nose. Maybe long is the way noses were meant to be. Sorry to be silly. The point is, we're going to share Jesus' glory. We will have perfect characters. We will have perfect bodies. But there is a cost. Verse 17. In order to share Christ's glory, we must share his suffering. Jesus died on a cross. We have to be willing to die. Certainly, we have to be willing to die to selfishness, to wrong pleasures, and so on. Any part of our lives which Jesus is not pleased with must go. We must die to it. If we're thinking, "Oh, I can't possibly talk about Jesus with my friends," die to that wrong attitude. If we're thinking, "Oh, I can't possibly give my money away," die to that wrong attitude. If we're thinking, "Oh, I simply must have that car, but not give my money away," die to that wrong attitude. You know where God calls on you to die. Well, are you a child of God? That's what we're talking about. Have you received the spirit of adoption? If not, come to him tonight. What's stopping you? Come to God. Say, "Make me your child. Adopt me into your family." And if you are a child of God, remember, God's children behave like God's children. God's children know they're God's children as they grow in that relationship of prayer and Bible reading. God's children inherit God's glory. Now that's the thing to live for. God's glory. Set your sights on glory. Live for the things which will count in glory. Don't live for the money and the status and the possessions and the pleasure now. Don't live for those things. Live for God's glory. Let's take a moment of silence to respond personally to what God has been saying to us in his word. Father, thank you for adopting us, making us your children. Father, this is an unbelievable privilege. And we're sorry that we live for the things of this world when we could be enjoying you.
So Lord, help us to live as your children. For Jesus' sake, amen.